Hey, what's going on? I'm talking with Chris Reifert, vocalist and drummer for a band that you know as Autopsy. I got to see them, what is this, like 10, 11 years ago at Pneumo's with Bone Sickness and Black Breath, and that was an awesome show. You guys are back next week with your first album in 8 years, Morbidity Triumphant. Chris, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, trying to get myself coffeeed up here and shake some cobwebs out of my head, but otherwise doing good.
Nice, man. Well, so you're no stranger to radio. You've been doing Gimme Metal, Gimme Radio kind of specials for the last couple of years. Is that right?
Yeah, actually just turned over my 9th show last night, as a matter of fact.
That's awesome, man. How's that been, being on the other side of it, not being the one, you know, listening to the radio, but the one like actually hosting it? Have you had a good time doing it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why I keep going back, you know. Yeah, it's super fun because one of my favorite things to do is listen to music and turn people on to stuff that I think they might like, or remind them of things that I know they like or whatever. So getting to play records for people and see their immediate reactions like you get to do on Gimme Metal is a blast. Yeah, it's super fun.
That's awesome, man. So you know, there's people that, you know, and I definitely want to talk about how Autopsy is like an OG death metal band. Like, you guys are some of the originators of the grimy underground death metal sound and visuals, especially. But, you know, you could easily be like, you know, stuck in a time where, you know, you're only listening to old school stuff. I'm assuming, you know, doing your radio show, you're staying active with finding new bands and whatnot.
I don't necessarily seek out new death metal bands, for example, but they usually end up coming my way.
So
you know, just by being involved in the scene and stuff like that, so to speak. So I you know, definitely encounter cool stuff all the time, but in terms of listening and stuff like that, I'm all over the place. I'm not just like death metal or not even just metal, you know. My musical tastes are somewhat bizarre at times. There's some head scratchers in there, but I like all things rocking and heavy and tons of other stuff too.
Well, fill us in, man. Like, you know, you just mentioned that you can't just casually drop that without giving some examples. Like, what's a band or a group that, you know, people might be surprised that freaking Chris from Autopsy is into? Are you a big Mariah Carey guy?
No, if I was, I may or may not fess up to that, but I gotta say no on that one. It's kind of an overwhelming to just single one thing out, you know. So, I mean, some things are just weird, some things might be unexpected, but you know, I'm like, as far as name dropping, I'm drawing a blank right now because
no worries.
It's kind of like when people ask, "What are your top fave albums?" My brain just goes into a pretzel. I'm like, I don't know. It's just too many.
Well, that was my next question. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I'm terrible at those. I usually just say I can't do it.
Just say AC/DC, Back in Black. There you go. Just go to, you know, just simple.
What is that? I've heard of that one before.
Pretty obscure. They're coming up. They're doing shows with Nirvana, a little band that people might not know about.
Yeah, I'll have to keep my ear to the pavement.
Totally. So, you know, you live in the Bay Area, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Nice, dude. So, you know, in the underground now, like, there is this crazy current flock and wave of underground death metal, and it just seems like this crazy movement. You know, what's your opinion on that, and like, is that something that you're kind of stoked on?
Well, yeah, I mean, it gets us better gigs, so I gotta like that. I mean, it's something that's always been there, but it seems to be, dare I say, relatively popular right now.
Sure.
You know, so I mean, the cool thing is that the whole death metal thing never vanished or went away. I know a lot of people like to say, "Oh, death metal disappeared in the 90s. No, we just weren't paying enough attention.
Yeah.
As simple as that. It never like went away. Otherwise it wouldn't be here still. You know, I can't imagine it fading out completely and all of a sudden it's back, you know? So it's just, some people quit paying attention and went on to other listening ventures. But now it's great. I mean, we're getting killer gigs now, you know. I mean, like in the early days of the band, I sound like an old person, you know, we'd play local shows for like 10 people, you know, and stuff like that. Now we get to play for 10,000, you know, so it's, what's not to like about that? It's great. I'm super happy. We just played a local show in Oakland oh God, like a month or so ago, whatever it was. And it was killer, you know. So we can now successfully play local shows and people will actually show up as opposed to the old days.
Whew, imagine that, you know. And
I know.
you were saying, you know, how like the music never died. The music was always there, and that's, you know, absolutely true. But like you were saying, kind of the hype, the popularity, it kind of moves in waves, you know. It kind of it's cyclical, but it will always be there in the underground, just waiting to be tapped.
Yeah, well, I think honestly, it's become more, dare I say, acceptable, you know. So I don't know that it's gonna diminish in popularity. I mean, anything can happen at any point, you know. Life on Earth is unpredictable, and humans are unpredictable, so you never know. But the thing that's encouraging is it seems to have weathered the test of time as a style or genre or whatever. I mean, a lot of things have come and gone, as I'm sure you can think of a few off the top of your head, some, you know, subgenres from metal or death metal that have come and gone, and some people might even be embarrassed to say they were into them, depending, or just don't remember them because they were so dumb or whatever. But death metal's still going, and now everyone knows what it is, at least. Or, you know, you could probably walk into your local Safeway and just corner some random person and make them super uncomfortable and go, "Do you know what death metal is?" And they'll probably say, "Yeah, I don't like it, but I know what it is." You know, so there was a time when someone would just look at you and go, "What are you talking about? No, get out of my space. I'm trying to buy bananas here." So so it's passed the test of time. It's still something that's forced to be reckoned with, and I'm happy because that's what I play, so you know, I can't be displeased about that.
Well, that sounds like what I'm going to be doing on my lunch break. I'm going to go to Safeway and I'm going to make someone incredibly uncomfortable with, you know,
Stare at them in the eyes for a really uncomfortably long amount of time, overly close, and before security gets called on you, you may get an answer out of them.
Do you have a moment to speak about our Lord and Savior Terrence Hobbs?
What?
That's what I'll say to them at the Safeway,
I think that's a good opening line. You know, you might make a new friend, or you know, there might be someone waiting to shank you when you leave the store when you're done.
Absolutely, man. And then there you go. That the cycle repeats. Then we have a death metal band writing a song about my stabbing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everyone wins.
So this new record, you know, it's what we're talking about. Morbidity Triumphant, coming out next week, or when you hear this, probably this week, or you will have already heard it. It's the first album in 8 years. Like, when did you actually start working on the record, man? Was it something that, you know, took that long to write, or did you guys, you know, just start working on it during the pandemic? How long did it take, man?
It's kind of a weird question. Well, I mean, first of all, it's we've done a lot of things since the last full length, which was, I think, must have been 2014, right? But we've done some like mini LPs or whatever you want to call them, and we did a live album. We've done plenty
That's
of
right. That's
shows, most involving grueling travel and stuff like that. So
right.
we've been, yeah.
Been busy,
So we've
yeah.
been, yeah, we've been super active. We haven't been hanging around, you know, playing ping pong or whatever, you know, wasting time, whatnot. We've been pretty much constantly busy for the last 12 years, 13 years or whatever. But first of all, you have to subtract 2 years for pandemic reasons, so that lops it down to 6 years. But we did have designs on recording it in June of 2020 and had studio dates booked in between live shows, and we were raring to go and all that stuff, and we were beginning to write material for it, and you know, with our deadline in mind of the June dates, so we knew when we had to be ready by. But I don't have to tell you what happened. Everything
You
got
got
scrapped.
2020'd.
We got 2020, you know, so everything got either postponed or canceled or scrambled around or whatever. Just like 99% of bands on planet Earth, everyone's got the same story, depending on where you lived, you know. But when did we start working on it? Mostly after the show we did in Los Angeles in January of this year, which was our first year back. That's when everything started happening again. All the stuff that we were supposed to do in 2022, or I'm sorry, 2020 was all of a sudden happening now, like everything all at once. But but all the puzzle pieces in the box were shaken up and scrambled around. So all of a sudden it was like, okay, you're still doing this show, but this is in this month and this one's that month there and
Yep.
blah, blah, blah. So we had a little window of time between Los Angeles and Portugal. So we did the LA show and we had like 2 months, give or take, to wrap up writing and rehearsing to get ready for the album because we had to hurry up and get it done before we left for Portugal, which was like 2 or 3 weeks after finishing the album. So it was kind of a mad rush to get it all done. And the main reason for that is because nowadays there's a vinyl shortage, which a lot of people are aware of.
Yes.
So you gotta plan like 6 to 9 months ahead. So if we didn't deliver the new album by mid-April at the latest, that would have been 2023 when the new album came out, and that was unthinkable for us. We're like, no, we can't do that. That'd be lame. So we're just gonna, just hit it hard and get it done and get the shows done too. And it's a little stressful, to be honest with you, but sometimes that's good. It lights a fire under you, and you're like, oh, I didn't know we could achieve that, but we did. So it's good in that way.
Nice, man. Well, I'm looking forward to the record. You mentioned a vinyl shortage, and that's when nerds like me, who never gave up CDs, we reign
I still
supreme.
like CDs.
Yeah. Dude, I listen to CDs
CDs,
in my car
vinyl,
all the
whatever
time.
shoves music into my face.
Nice, man. So is that, is vinyl kind of like your preferred method of collection? Are you a record collector? I'm assuming so.
Yeah, I mean, vinyl or CDs, it doesn't matter. I'm not a snob, I'm not like an elitist and have to have only such and such pressings or whatever. Just like whatever I can get that's cool, whether it's a scratchy used $2 record or a brand new $20 one or $3 used CD or $15 new one or whatever. It doesn't, I'm not a snob like that. I know there's some people out there that are, and that's fine. No judgment, it's all good. But I just, whatever gets music in my ears is what I'm going for. It's a never ending quest. I always think I don't have room for anything else. Oh, but I have to have this.
Absolutely.
Never ends.
What's like a couple of your like favorite records, like your most prized at like at, as far as like what you own on LP? Is there anything that like you would take, if all of a sudden you had to forced to evacuate your house, there's like two or three records you would take?
It's funny you mentioned that because I actually have thought about that before because we've had some pretty serious wildfire
Yes, that's right in
fears
your
here the
area.
last 3 years in a row to where we actually had our go bags, as they call them, by the front door, like important items. So if I had the luxury of grabbing any music, which would have to be an afterthought if something serious like that happened, I actually, so last year before, I actually had a box of all the CDs I've played on, all in one box by the front door because all the vinyl would be too heavy and I wouldn't be able to get it out of the house fast enough. So for historical purposes, I can remember what I did. I had all my CDs that I played on, which is a fair amount of stuff, in a box by the front door, along with change of clothes and toothbrush and cat carriers and like that. So there's your answer to that one.
Dude, the most brutal metal people always happen to be cat guys. What is it, man? I was talking with actually from Rob Halford, believe it or not, from Judas Priest. I'll name drop. I was interviewing him about a year ago, and he loves cats. And so we were talking about it, and he was like, "I don't know, it's a thing." What do you think it is about metal guys and cats?
I don't know, because cats are awesome. You can ask King Diamond about that. He always name drops them in his thanks lists. So, I don't know. It's just, in my case, just pretty much always had cats in my life ever since birth. So it's just something I don't know. I don't know any other way.
What are your cat's names? Shout them out.
Oh, I can't. I have to keep their identities private
Oh,
so no one
okay.
shows up and tries to pat them unannounced.
There you go, man. I appreciate you keeping their lives off of the social media, off of the radio. They didn't choose to be famous. They want to have their anonymous lives as cats.
Yeah, it's hard. I'll wake up in the middle of the night sometimes, and all of a sudden one of them's on the laptop tapping away, so it gets difficult to keep, late hours.
Nice. Okay, man. So I'm not going to take up all your time today. I just have a couple more questions for you. So, you know, the last couple, you know, you kind of tapped on it about 2020, how things, you know, hit the fan. It was gnarly. But, you know, if you're having a day like, you know, a lot of the days in 2020, if you're having a particularly stressful or crappy day, what's an album that you can reach for that can, you know, kind of bring you back to a good spot, whether it's, you know, get your aggression out, or if it's, you know, make you smile, whatever it is. What's an album that you can go to on a crap day?
Oh, man, you're asking me the thing I said that I was unable to answer. I don't know that, you know what, honestly, those 2 years were kind of a blur. I listened to just all the normal things. There wasn't any particular, like, pick-me-up or get-me-pumped-up albums or anything like that. Just kind of all the normal stuff. But those 1.5, 2 years were kind of a blur because every day was exactly the same. Yep. You know, we weren't playing music. You know, the building we rehearsed in actually told all the bands, don't even come down here unless you're picking up gear to take home. And it's like the Forbidden Zone in Planet of the Apes or something. So my daily routine at home was exactly the same every day with no changes. So I don't even really remember much about it. Except, oh, yep, riding the hamster wheel here. Yep. Just round and around and around. And I had this weird idea that I was going to write like 13 albums and, you know, I'm going to use my time wisely. I've got all this extra time. And the effect was the opposite. It was just like, well, why bother? So it was just like on hold, you know. So, I don't know. I just listened to all sorts of stuff. I don't remember anything off the top of my head. I'd have to sit down and think about it and waste way too much of your time.
Fair enough, man. No worries. It's kind of that weird blur that we all lived through. So, you know, let's not revisit that.
Yeah, hopefully not. You know, it wasn't super fun.
Yep. Dude, so if you could tell me pick a scar on your body and tell me the story of how you got the scar, Chris.
Oh, I got a pretty good one from a hernia operation. Ooh. And actually I popped the hernia in the middle of a set in Brazil.
Jesus.
In 2012. We were playing the show in Brazil and I felt something pop. I mean, I'd never had one of those before, so I didn't know what it was. I'm like, oh, that really sucks. And then we went back stage for a minute to do our encore, you know, and then I was like, oh man, my balls hurt like crazy. What the fuck is happening? And then we had to go and finish the show. And then I'd been told about what hernias are from friends who've had them. Mm-hmm. And once we got out of there, I looked down and sure enough, there's a big lump in the abdomen and like, oh, I know what this is. And then I had the pleasure of flying home for 24 hours and then waiting for weeks to get a surgery appointment and all that fun stuff. And so there you go. There's one.
Damn, man. That's brutal. So
I tripped through the show, though. We didn't skip a song.
Oh, man. That sounds heinous. Dude, thank you for thank you for sharing the nasty hernia story. Thank you for taking the time for redoing this interview. And again, Morbidity Triumphant coming out September 30th next week. Chris Reifert from Autopsy. Any chance that we'll see you guys back in the Northwest anytime in the next couple of years?
Oh, there's a very good chance. It hasn't been announced yet, but I'm just going to say yes, absolutely.
Hell yeah, man. Right on, dude. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate you taking your time. And what's up, everyone?